Between the monastery and Bly's Butte, a very small river trickled through a very large canyon. Only one extant bridge spanned it. Until we had crossed this and come to a fork, we didn't need to think very hard about which direction we ought to go. The road to the left swung wide to avoid the mountain. The one to the right headed up the bank of a tributary toward a settlement marked on the cartabla as Samble. So we went that way, and a little more than an hour after leaving the monastery, found ourselves approaching something that, from a distance, looked like a pot scour dropped on the smooth southern flank of Bly's Butte. It was a carpet of scrubby trees. As we got closer, we saw it had been cleaved and sorted by settlers' walls, roofs, and fences. Taller trees, obviously fawned over by generations who loved them for shade or beauty, stood in a rectangle around a plot of grass, at one end of which rose the acute wood-framed sky altar of a Counterbasian arch. Without any communication between the two vehicles, we found our way to that village green. When we climbed out, we heard singing from the arch, but we saw no people. The entire town, including Gonelial Craid, whose fetch was parked in a patch of dirt behind the arch, was inside that building. This didn't seem like a good place to look for Orlo, or, assuming he was still alive, Estimard. But it did give us our first hint as to how a couple of ferals might have been able to survive out here, by coming down into Samble to get things like food and medicine. How they might have paid for them was another question. But Fra Cormolithew pointed out that Samble didn't make much economic sense to begin with. There weren't any towns hereabouts, the land didn't support farming, there was little in the way of industry. He developed a theory that it was every bit as much a religious community as the monastery where we had stayed last night. And if that were the case, perhaps Estimard and Orlo didn't have to pay for things with money, if instead they could provide useful services to the townsfolk.
"Or perhaps they are simply beggars," suggested Fra Jad, "like certain orders of old."
Most of the avowed seemed more comfortable with the beggar hypothesis than with any suggestion that Estimard or Orlo might have been making himself useful to these kinds of people. It led to a lively discussion. All of our attempts to plane each other would have disturbed the service in the Ark if it had been a quiet and contemplative kind of proceeding. But it was more raucous in that place than we could ever hope to be, with a lot of singing that sounded like shouting. A few of us separated ourselves from the discussion and spent a minute looking back and forth between the cartabla and the butte. Samble, which Fra Cormolithew speculated might be an ancient weathered contraction of Savant Bly, stood at the beginning of a dirt road that spiraled around the butte to its top. After a few minutes, we identified the place where that road began, the dirt lot behind the arch. And at the moment, there was no way to drive through it and get on that road. The lot was full of parked vehicles. A few shiny mobs, such as might belong to whoever passed for burgers in Samble, but mostly dust-covered fetches with big tires. There was an open lane up the center. The head of the road, though, was squarely blocked by Gonelial Craid's fetch. According to the cartabla, it was only 4 miles to the top, and I was feeling restless. So I filled my water bottle from a pump in the middle of the green and started to walk up the road. Leo came with me. So did Fra Criskin, who was the youngest of the hundreders. It felt a little strange walking among the parked fetches of the faithful of Samble, but once we squeezed past Craid's and got onto the road, it curved around the flank of the butte, and the little town disappeared from view. A minute after that, we were no longer able to hear the shouting inside the arch, just the rush of a dry, crackling wind coming at us from across the desert, carrying the sharp perfume of the tough, resinous plants that grew down there. We gained altitude briskly, and the temperature of the air dropped, even as we warmed to the task. Once we had reached a point opposite to Samble, we were able to see all the way up to the top and make out a few buildings and the crippled skeletons of old aerial towers and polyhedral domes. We guessed they were military relics, which wasn't interesting since, after a few thousand years of habitation, all landscapes were strewn with such things. We spiraled up and around to a point where we could look down into Samble and wave to our friends below. The service in the Ark showed no sign of winding down. We had assumed that the vehicles would catch up with us soon into our hike, In other words, we were only doing this to get some exercise, not as a way of getting to the top. But now it seemed we might get there before our vehicles did. For some reason, this aroused our competitive instincts and made us hike faster. We found a shortcut that had been used by other hikers and cut off one whole circuit of the mountain by scrambling straight up the slope for a couple of hundred feet.